Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Morning, everyone. Praise God we're here. It's not windy inside our chapel. As soon as you step outside, you might get blown away. Let's join together and come into the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, it's a great song to start out with, and I pray, Lord, that you'll give us a proper understanding of that, because that humble ourselves in your sight, Lord, is really an act of our knowing and agreeing with your word that without you we can do nothing. But when we do that and you lift us up, now we can do all things in Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth us. Help us to get that and to understand that our confidence has to depart from ourselves and that we may put it rightly in you and go forward in that, making you manifest to all we come into contact with, that they may know that you are true. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
Who is worthy to be praised.
Who is worthy to be praised.
So shall I be saved from my enemies.
I be saved from my enemies.
I will call upon the Lord.
Exalted.
I will call upon the Lord. exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Triumph gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, is now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, is now become my victory. Lord is God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, is now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, is now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord, I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
When we sing this, I want you to just leave everything else beforehand, leave it behind. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Choose to do so. And then your testimony will be, He has made me glad.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
One more time.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
I am not my own. I was bought with a price. I was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All my debts were paid by his sacrifice. Hallelujah to the Lamb who redeemed my life. I am not my own, I was bought with a price. I was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All my debts were paid by his sacrifice. Hallelujah to the Lamb who redeemed my life. I am not my own, I was bought with a price. I was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All my debts were paid by his sacrifice. Hallelujah to the Lamb who redeemed my life.
Praise you, Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to start at 22 today. What changes have happened in your life since you accepted the Lord? Who were you beforehand? What were you beforehand? What did you believe? What did you think? What did you walk in? What was your attitude? What was your goals before you knew the Lord? For me, all the things that I thought were so precious, were so right, were so true, and things that I thought I was destined to do or to be are gone. Praise God. They're gone. They have left me. Every once in a while, one of them tries to creep back in, but I fight against it, and I tell it to go away. More than tell it to go away, I command it to go away. Because I have that power that the Lord has given to me, that I can stand when one of the devil's little minions or something tries to bring something back into me. I have that power from Jesus Christ where I can sit there and command it to be gone, and it leaves. Every once in a while, though, if you've heard Davey's sermon where he talks about the dead cat, yeah, every once in a while that tail looks tempting. Pick him back up, see what it looks like. But are we supposed to be there? Are we supposed to constantly look back to our past? No. It's over. It's gone. There's nothing you can do to change your past. There is nothing you can do to adjust it. What happened, what you did, what somebody else did to you, and everything else is over and gone. The only thing that counts now is what you do today. Don't even worry about what you're going to do tomorrow. Work on today. Because tomorrow never comes, and yesterday's gone. Today, what you do today What you do in the next 5 minutes can make a profound difference, not only in your own life, but to every life around you. It doesn't matter who you were before or what you did before. What matters is what you do now. Starting at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Sounds pretty much like a lot of the so-called Christians in the churches today, right? They're looking for that sign. Or they'll sit in that pew until their bones, looking for wisdom. But we preach Jesus Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I think about my past. As everyone can think about theirs and go, why would the Lord use me? What could I have that can help them? And it doesn't matter what your background is. You can always go back and think about that. But don't dwell on it. Because right here it tells us, he will take the things that are opposite and bring them around to his good if you believe in him. What he has done for you since you've come to him is your testimony. Are there other people that are walking this earth today that are like you used to be? If there are, then your testimony can show them that Jesus Christ can make a difference in their lives. And it doesn't matter what your testimony is or what your past was. But your testimony into what Jesus Christ has done for you. The changes he has made in your life. And the love that you show to those people by giving out your testimony makes them have to make a decision. And if they reject you, so what? Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about Steve. It's not about Megan. It's not about anybody in this ministry. It is not about anybody who's ever even thought about this ministry. It's about Jesus Christ, and only about Jesus Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. And no one comes to the Father except by Him. And it doesn't matter what you believed in the past, it's what you do today. It's what you believe today. It's how you walk and talk and act towards others today that can make the difference, that can show a light that might lead others to Jesus Christ. And that's our job. Every person that calls themselves a Christian, your job is to allow others to see Christ through what you do and what you say so that they too can make a wise and informed choice and choose Jesus Christ and walk with Jesus Christ and do the works of Jesus Christ. So don't dwell in the past. Don't worry about the past. Think about today and what you can do today. And if these words made a difference in your life today, praise God, because if you had asked me to come up with these words and what I was going to say today, I guarantee you it would have been something different. Learn to listen, because He'll give you the words you need when you need them. Don't try to pre-plan, because different circumstances take different measures. One person, it might be your action. The way you react to somebody else might make the difference in their life where they would decide to try to come to the Lord. Could be a word that you say. It could be nothing more than comforting a friend. Or it could be your testimony that they're overhearing as you're telling somebody else. The Lord can use each and every one of us in His way and on His time to make people have to make a decision as to whether they want to stand in Christ and grow in Christ and live eternal life with Christ or to choose the alternative. Live for today. Speak for today. Walk for today. Let the Lord guide you today. Amen. Hmm.
your grace I would go my way. I'm forever grateful that you have been faithful to me, Lord, for your amazing grace. But for your grace I could not be saved. But for your grace I would go my way. I'm forever grateful that you have been faithful to me, Lord, for your amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. But for your grace I could not be saved. But for your grace I would go my way. I'm forever grateful that you have been faithful to me, Lord, for your amazing grace. But for your grace I could not be saved. But for your grace I would go my way. I'm forever grateful that you have been faithful to me, Lord, for your amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I'm forever grateful that you have been faithful to me, Lord, for your amazing grace. For your amazing grace. For your amazing grace.
Give the Lord a cheer. Praise you, Lord. It's a pretty pitiful cheer, folks. Pretty pitiful cheer. You know, one thing just about that song, real quick. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, Paul writes, "And you," referring to the Ephesians and those who are faithful in Christ Jesus, "hath he quickened," that is, given new life to, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, when in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all," now Paul's including himself and the other apostles, "among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For grace ye are saved, and hath given us, and hath raised us up together, and made us," watch this, "and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now I share that with you, because when we sing that song, the way the Lord used to always show it to me was the only difference between a Christian and an unbeliever is Jesus Christ. And when we lose sight of that, and we begin to think that somehow we are something, is when that grace gets pulled back. But if we can walk in that, that's what it truly is, to walk with that humbleness of mind, not thinking of yourself as being any better than anyone else. And it's in that place that every aspect of your life that his grace has covered then, and that has, what it becomes is it becomes compassion towards those that are without. It becomes grace towards those that are without. It becomes love towards those that are without. It also becomes those things to those that are within. Because actually those that are within can sometimes be the most maddening, can't we? Because we think those that are within that somehow or other they should have already gotten certain things, and it just seems like they have not yet, which then becomes extremely frustrating, right? Just a wee bit frustrating. And the Lord wants us to remember who we are. When we remember who we are, then our past doesn't hold us back, not in the least. Because we know his grace. We know his love. We know his power. We know all of these things. But it becomes a part of our ministry unto others that they can come to know these things too. Now, I wanted to turn today to something Sue read here for a moment. She read Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I just want to focus on verse 9 here for a moment. There's something, you know, people miss stuff in here. They miss who and what we can become in Christ, and they get offended. So I may offend some people here. It's not my intention. My intention is actually quite to the contrary. But look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Watch that. Look at that. This is a man speaking to a body of Christ. Those things which ye have both learned, that is learned from me, in this instance it's the Apostle Paul, and received from me, that is the Apostle Paul, and heard from me, that is the Apostle Paul, and seen in me, that is the Apostle Paul, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, for many, many years, we had a dear brother in the Lord by the name of Brother Davy, who stood in the same place the Apostle Paul stood in. And you saw some people who were willing to learn things from him, receive things from him, hear things he said, and saw things in him, and did likewise. Truth matters, weren't many. Weren't many. Weren't many. And the only fault in that lies with those who chose not to do it. It was purely unadulterated, your choice. It was nobody else's. And the God of peace shall be with you. To those who did, it was evident that the God of peace was with them. Evident. You know why? Because they went and did likewise, and God was with them. And it's funny, even before Davy passed on, there were people who did that likewise with me. There were people in this fellowship who learned what I taught them. There were people who received that which I shared with them and heard that which I told them, and they saw in me and did likewise, and God blessed them. It's just the truth. It is the absolute truth. And there were those who found fault. There were those who justified themselves in rejecting. There were those who just couldn't bring themselves to humble themselves to walk in this place. And you know what? They've struggled, and they've struggled, and they've struggled, and they've struggled, and they've struggled. I share this with you for two reasons. First of all, I don't want to see you struggle anymore. That's just the truth of the matter. I don't want to see you struggle anymore. I want to see you get these things and go forward in them. But I'm also going to highlight something to you that most of you have never even considered in your life to do. See, you know what one of the biggest differences is? I accepted the responsibility to be this way to you for your sakes. I actually accepted the responsibility of faith in Christ Jesus. I accepted the responsibility to choose to love Christ Jesus. I accepted the responsibility to seek him for your sakes. I accepted the responsibility to seek him for my sake, recognizing that I could depend on no other individual in this life to be saved. I can't save a one of you. I have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, just as you have to work out yours. But one of the things that I have done is I have chosen to accept that responsibility. And accepting that responsibility, I've chosen to accept the responsibility of being an example to you. I've accepted the responsibility of being one who has a responsibility before God to tell you the truth and to teach you a true and accurate understanding of who Jesus Christ is and how that applies in your life. And it's for that reason that if you will, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, that the God of peace shall be with you. Have you accepted that responsibility yourself? Have you? To be that unto other people? See, we've been talking about the Joshua Age, right? We've been talking about the Joshua Age, a period in which the people choose to follow a man, and because God was with that man, God was with them. And because God was with them, there was no devil that could stand before them all the days of their life. No enemy, no weapon formed against you. See, when you accept that responsibility, the God of peace will be with you. And when the God of peace is with you, you know what you do? You make manifest him. When you make manifest him, people's lives that you come into contact with are changed. Your life is changed. And those whom you come into contact with, their lives can be changed. Fact of the matter is, their lives will be changed, even if they don't receive Christ. You know why? It's an amazing thing. See, when a person, whether they are a believer or an unbeliever, comes into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, whether that be through you, whether that be through me, or whether that be directly in some way from the Lord in which he appears to people. And you know what's amazing? I've known many people the Lord has appeared to and them die and go to hell. Imagine that for a moment. I've never had the Lord physically appear to me. I know people. I remember Jeff Peterson. The Lord appeared to Jeff Peterson. Jeff Peterson knew the Lord, and I hope to God he didn't go to hell. But I'll tell you what, the way he died with a heroin needle in his arm and overdosing under a bridge in Massachusetts doesn't give me a lot of hope, though perchance Jeff realizing what had happened gasped out one last time and the Lord forgave him, in which case, hallelujah. I love Jeff. I want nothing more than to go and see Jeff one day and be able to enjoy a true fellowship in Christ Jesus. But I know the Lord appeared to Jeff. I know the Lord appeared to Paul Frechette. I know the Lord appeared to multiple people. I could go down through and name it. I can tell you that John Sexauer saw the Lord. I could go through many people who have seen the Lord, seen his angel, seen different things, and gone quite possibly to hell. Did you know in Israel, we talk about the children of Israel under Moses, did you know that that 70 of the elders of Israel sat down and had dinner with the Lord? And still after sitting down and physically having dinner with the Lord, only two of them made it to heaven? Think of that. Think of that. So look, see, the thing is that if you're going to go forward in the Lord, and you're going to go forward and really partake fully of what he has for you, you've got to accept a responsibility, which is you have to accept that responsibility of you have to accept the responsibility of faith in Christ Jesus, but you have to accept the responsibility for your own choices. Every single thing that comes down in your life is a function of your choices, not anybody else's choices, your choices. You make choices all day long, every single day. And the fact of the matter is God can have grace to you in your choices, and he does, exceeding. It's an amazing thing. But there are many choices you make he cannot honor. He cannot honor. Having grace on a choice you make is a very different thing than honoring a choice you make. Do you want God to honor the choices you make? Do you really want him to honor the choices you make? Bless those choices. Pour his power, his love, his grace, his mercy down upon you because of the choices you make. Then take responsibility for the choices you make. And humble yourself before the Lord. And if you will do that, he will indeed lift you up. And when you make wrong ones, he'll have grace on you. But you know what he does? He has this thing. I call it the feedback loop. Anybody ever hear me talk about the feedback loop? See, one of the things is that, like, if you ever do math, math's funny this way. Math is very precise. You go through and you do something and you make a mistake. So you get an X. Like, my wife, my children are homeschooled. She marks an X. Like, you guys got that one wrong, right? And what does she make my children do when they get one wrong? She makes them go do it again so that they can learn what their mistake was. There's a feedback loop. And you know what happens as they go back and they find out what their mistake was and they make the correction and they learn it? Now they are much more likely to remember that thing. Much more likely to remember that thing and learn that lesson well. Same's true in the spirit, folks. See, people go and they pray and God doesn't answer their prayer. And the truth is God doesn't answer a lot of your prayers. Do you know that? And this isn't even, some people say, you know, God sometimes answers no. No, I mean, the truth of the matter is, it says, ask and ye shall receive. You know why so many of your prayers don't get answered? Because they're not of God to begin with. They're there to consume upon your lust. Generally, most of that consuming it upon your lust that the people in this fellowship struggle with is they want to be exalted. They want to be right. They want to be a whole bunch of different things. And they're wrong, and God's not going to honor it, and they're angry with him then. And they refuse to accept the feedback loop. They refuse to go, all right, Lord, where am I wrong here? Where am I wrong? What is it that is about this that is wrong? Show me, please. Have mercy upon me and show me. And actually get down and be willing to hear where you're wrong. I mean, I get the great job of telling people often when they're wrong. Usually when I tell people they're wrong, it's usually like when you go to feed a dog and it's one of those dogs that'll bite your fingers when you're trying to give it a treat. You ever have seen a dog like that? We got some dogs around here that are like that sometimes, don't we? You go to give them the treat, they want to bite your fingers off. Makes you not want to give them the treat. And some of you guys are like that. I go to give you something that's designed to help you, and you want to bite my hand off. Like I'm your enemy or somehow against you. I watch it, and I take a step back, and I, all right, Lord, how can I reach this person? If you notice, I actually haven't given up on a one of you. And there's not a one of you listening out there I've given up on. I've wondered sometimes. I have probably wanted to give up sometimes. But the truth of the matter is I haven't given up on a one of you. You know why? Because the Lord hasn't given up on you. And the fact that you may have wanted to bite my hand off today doesn't mean that tomorrow you will. And I know sometimes we got to kind of regroup and take a different approach and give you a little space to finally come to the recognition that you're in the wrong place. So I give a little grace out there and let you kind of come to that place. But the fact of the matter is this thing of accepting responsibility for your own choices and recognize that there's not a person on this planet who can cause you to lose your salvation but you. But you. The devil's not even big enough. It says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Can even death separate us from the love of God? No. The only one big enough to cause you to lose your salvation is you. It's the only one. The only one big enough for you to, well, and let me put it this way. I was going to say the only one big enough to save you is Jesus. It's not even you. You ever think of that? You can't even accept responsibility for your own salvation. You can't even accept responsibility for believing him. You know why? Because you could not believe him but the Father, which is the Holy Spirit of God, give it to you to believe. So you can't accept responsibility for any of that. Think of that. I mean, how low are we? How low? We can't even be entrusted with the responsibility of receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because we couldn't do it on our own. But nobody can take it away from you. And when you want to put it on anybody other than yourself, when you want to put anything that you've suffered, lost, any other thing, and start putting it on other people, it's other people's faults. I can tell you, you're barking up the wrong tree, folks. You're barking up the wrong tree. I've been here 26 years serving the Lord. You don't think I've had to go through some unbelievably hard things with you? Things that some of you have said or done towards me, attitudes you've had, things you've done, things that were as frustrating and make me as angry as anything could ever make anybody angry in the world? I'll tell you what, absolutely. You guys, people in this fellowship, have sent me to having to fight and beat the air in utter, complete, and total frustration, fury, beyond any fury I had ever experienced in my entire life, ever, ever. That's you guys, nobody else. And have to break through and realize I was wrong. Didn't make the other person right. I was wrong. When I say this to you folks, I know of an absolute certainty. I do not care what anybody has done. Any wrong you think somebody has ever done you that you think justifies you against them, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. So you got to get shed of those notions and come to accept the responsibility that if you're not in the place, if you're not in the right place in the Lord, there's nobody to blame but you. And when you get down to that place, I tell you what, now you're in a place where the Lord can really work with you. The Lord can really bless you. That's the amazing thing. He didn't bring you down there. I told Brad last Sunday, I told him, I said, look, Brad, when you get out of this meeting we were having, I said, you go down and get on your knees and you humble yourself before the Lord. I said, and Brad, don't you even think to be on your knees and raise your head from the ground because you are not that, what did I say, Robin, you were there. I said something like, You are not even worthy of that. You put your nose down in the dirt because you're lower than snake manure. Those my people might think that was kind of mean of me. Kind of like not very kind to my brother Brad. Well, you know what happened? My brother Brad called me on Monday morning all excited. That was a week ago. He called me on Monday morning all excited. You know why he was all excited? He is my brother Brad. He said, you know, Steve, I don't know. He said, but if I could see in the spirit, I would believe I had a demonic spirit. And when I got up this morning for the first time in my life that I can ever remember, it wasn't there. What's it say? Submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he shall flee thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So mean, Steve. I mean, just mean, utterly contemptible Steve saying such a thing to a dear brother in the Lord. Well, Brad knows me. I've said some really tough things to Brad almost from the beginning I met him. In fact, it may be some of the tough things I said to him at the beginning that caused him to run off for a season till he got arrested and stuff like that for having beat up his wife and thrown in jail and all the other things. So he finally had to come to realize that he wasn't the goody two shoes he thought he was. It's pretty good for a one-armed guy, you know. He's handicapped. I think they put him in the short bus jail. You go over there. I got some snickers going on over here. But the fact of the matter is that, look, I mean, sometimes things are just hard. They are. But the reason why we can pass through them is because God is awesome, man. God is good. God is loving. He wants us to have a new life divine. We say enter his gates with thanksgiving in his life. Man, I'll tell you what. I mean, when you can walk and heal the sick, when you can walk and cast out devils, when you can walk in confidence in the Lord so that you can still the storm. I mean, for silly things, I'm painting my house, I still the storm. We recalled for rain every single day, the 1 week we had off from a revival, and God kept the rain off every single day till we finished painting that thing. Okay, I'm telling you that the Lord wants you to walk in that. He wants you to walk in that. He wants you to walk in that love. He wants you to walk in that power. He wants you to walk in his grace. He doesn't want you bound up by the stupid things you did even 10 seconds ago. Even 10 seconds ago. It does not matter. It should not trip you up right now for the person who's right before you and the thing you need to deal with right then. You don't need to hang on to anything. The other day, I was in there with Corey in the kitchen. It was funny. I'm going to tell on Corey and on Bob here a second. Because Corey had just this wee bit of an attitude towards Bob. Go figure. Can you imagine? A guy like Bob? I mean, it is so hard to imagine, isn't it, folks, for somebody to have an attitude against Bob? But Corey actually did, and he was willing to openly express his attitude. And Corey, I walked in and I saw this guy. It was kind of like this little snarling cloud of darkness over him at his table there. It's like, Corey, man, what's up? And he didn't come out immediately and tell me, but then he came out immediately and told me. He did, praise God. And I said to him, I said, you know the only one who's suffering right now? You. Bob's blissfully ignorant. He might be up there on his computer doing exactly everything you're thinking, blissfully ignorant that he's causing an attitude on his dear brother, Corey. And so Corey Carter was there. It was funny. So what does Corey do? Corey realized that he was wrong. He got rid of the attitude. He went up and you guys got things done. Praise God. But see, that's how it is. We hang on to these things. We don't even realize it's for pride's sake against our brother. We have ought against our brother. We want to hang on to that ought. We want to keep it. We want to hug up on it and think we're so great and he's such a jerk. And so we suffer. Instead of getting rid of it and loving our brother, even if we have to then go confront our brother, even if we have to go, what in the hell were you doing? What were you thinking? I don't mind. Get it out there. We're supposed to speak truth to one another, aren't we? Aren't we supposed to speak truth? Sometimes truth is not very pretty. Sometimes it's not pretty at all. So what? Sometimes truth hurts the person you're telling the truth to. So what? It's the truth that makes you free. If we cannot speak truth to one another, how are we ever going to be free? How are we ever going to rise up and be that body that God has called us to be? We have to speak the truth to one another. We have to. I mean, me speaking the truth to you, yes, it's important, but if we all speak the truth to one another, my God, nothing can stop us. That's where the Lord wants us to go. So let's get with that program. Let's get past all the fears and all the nonsense stupidity that we hang on to and everything about one another's feelings. Gosh, I mean, feelings. I watch women. Women are like prisoners of feelings. I love it in that movie we were watching, 2 Weeks Notice. The guy's playing chess, and he's like, women. He said, man, a woman, I mean, you know, chess has rules and this, that, and the other, all this other stuff. But, man, they got no rules, he says. They got no rules. Well, it's true. I mean, they could have completely things that are, I want the kitchen cleaned. You clean the kitchen. Oh, my God, what did we do? Hello, what kind of stupidity is this? Wake up, folks. We got to get past ourselves. Get past ourselves. The Lord has called us onto something so much greater. So much greater. So much greater. Let's go for that. Amen. All right, we're going to play some songs, folks. May the Lord bless you. I actually love you very much. And I share these things because I know we can, by the Lord Jesus Christ, do them. Amen.
Learning to leave, I'm learning to leave, I'm learning to leave. Jesus, finding more power than I've ever seen, I'm learning to lean on Him.
Walk.
Learning to walk, I'm learning to walk, I'm learning to walk.
Praise the Lord.
There's a fountain that
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you very much for this day, and we thank you for the message you brought. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd work with each of us to truly accept the responsibility of working out our own salvation in fear and trembling, and to take hold, to lay hold on that new life divine that you have for us, that we may go forward in it and minister in that new life divine unto others, that they may know as we do that you are indeed Lord, and that your sacrifice took away all sins, not only ours, but of the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Every praise is to our God.
Every word of worship.
Every word of worship in one accord.
Every praise
is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory hallelujah.
Glory hallelujah to our God.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, may the Lord bless you, folks. We'll be back here on Wednesday evening at 7 Mountain Time, 9 Eastern. And may the Lord's grace be upon each and every one of you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the Donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.